Pandavas return. The Pandavas came back to claim the kingdom, but Duryodhana refused to return it to them. No amount of pleading could convince him to alter his stand. Bhishma, along with other highly respected people, advised Duryodhana to return the kingdom, but he refused. Duryodhana had enjoyed absolute power for 13 years. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Duryodhana was now so corrupt that he would not give the Pandavas even so much as a square inch of the kingdom. The Pandavas, for their part, were willing to accept anything because they wanted to avoid war. Therefore, they turned to Krishna for help. Bhima, in spite of his vow to avenge Draupadi by destroying his cousins, pleaded with Krishna to somehow avoid the war. They all told Krishna, "It will be the end of the entire family. We do not want this. We are ready to take anything, but let Dharma prevail. Otherwise it is adharma. It is not proper. We are supposed to protect Dharma. Now we have to fight and we do not want to fight. Please make it possible for us to avoid the war, Krishna." But even Krishna's eloquence, pleading power, and negotiating acumen were of no avail. Duryodhana was too hard a nut to crack. His attitude towards his cousins was based on the fact that they were princes, members of the ruling class. They had valor and were well armed with weapons. "Let them fight," he said, "and take the kingdom as they should. I am not going to give it back to them. I have declared war. If they want the kingdom, they should meet me in the battlefield in Kurukshetra and take it back. Otherwise, let them go back to the forest. I will not disturb them there." In his role as the mediator, Krishna then asked Duryodhana for some kind of compromise. He said, "Give them one state with 5 districts. Give them a district with 5 counties, Duryodhana. Give them a county with 5 villages. Give them a village with 5 houses. Give them a house with 5 rooms. Duryodhana refused to give even 1 needle point of land to the Pandavas. The issue, therefore, was no longer the kingdom, but a matter of dharma, a question of right and wrong. The Pandavas were the lawful rulers, even though Duryodhana ruled the kingdom de facto. The Pandavas were the rightful rulers, rulers in exile, and Duryodhana was an usurper who continued to occupy the throne. To allow a usurper to rule the kingdom is to allow injustice, adharma, to go unchecked. If the king himself is following injustice, what will happen to the kingdom? Just as a fence put around a growing crop to keep out stray animals should not creep into the field and destroy the crop, so too a ruler should not destroy dharma. Rulers, kings are all fence-like protectors. If they begin to follow injustice, adharma, the kingdom will not be fit to live in." There is a daily prayer that says, "Nyayena margena mahim magishas paripalayantam." Let all the rulers of the world rule their kingdoms following the path of justice. It is said because the word ruler implies justice. It may be your own son or a cousin by marriage who has done wrong. Nevertheless, the person must be given the punishment that the crime deserves. It is the duty of a ruler. The Pandavas were supposed to protect dharma, law and order, and Duryodhana had gone against it in every way. Dharma and justice had to be reinstated. Therefore, the Pandavas could not avoid this war. Even though they had explored all possible avenues for avoiding the war, because Duryodhana would not return the kingdom, Lord Krishna had no option but to hand over the challenging gloves to Dharmaputra, saying, "I am sorry, I could not get even a square inch of land from Duryodhana. I tried everything, Dharma. The situation is impossible. Here are the gloves. You have to fight. There is no other way." War is declared. It was with great reluctance that Dharmaputra accepted the need to fight. In the meantime, both parties had begun gathering whatever support they could. Since Duryodhana was the ruler, he was able to sway people to his side by bribing those who were willing to compromise. Such people are prepared to ignore what is right and wrong when it suits their purpose. Thus, using his money, power, land, and position, Duryodhana gathered a large number of people, kingdoms, armies, and supplies, everything required to wage a war. The neighboring kingdoms felt that if they did not give Duryodhana their support, they would have to face the consequences. Duryodhana was the emperor, whereas they were lesser kings and chieftains. Because they could also have elected to join the Pandavas, Duryodhana sent his brothers and special messengers to elicit their support. They agreed to join his ranks primarily out of fear. Therefore, the number of people who refused to give him their support because they lived according to Dharma was very few. There are always a few people in any society who live their lives according to Dharma. We read in a Tamil verse that it is because of such people that the rain comes, the winds blow, and the flowing water still finds its own level, meaning that there is some order in the society. Here too, there were a few people who were not threatened by Duryodhana, still less tempted by his offers because of their commitment to Dharma. Unbribable and virtuous as they were, these people cast their lot with the Pandavas. Dharma of war. War was declared openly. No stealth was involved because in those days even war was controlled by Dharma. There was no such thing as a preemptive strike where while one side was preparing for war, the other side went in and took them by surprise. Nor could a man without a weapon be stuck. If he was in a chariot, the other person also had to be in a chariot before any fighting could occur. So there were certain rules that had to be followed, and that is how the battle between Pandavas and Duryodhana was fought. A time was declared and the fighting did not begin until then. The place was also arranged, Kurukshetra, located just above Delhi. As the Gita opens, the forces of Duryodhana and those of Dharmaputra had assembled. Duryodhana's commander-in-chief was the invincible Bhishma, the grand old man of the Kuru family. Even though Bhishma was a man of Dharma, he felt obliged to be on Duryodhana's side because he had promised his father that he would always stand by the one who ruled Hastinapura. And at the time of war, rightfully or not, Duryodhana was the current ruler, and hence Bhishma was obliged to fight on his side. Although Drona had taught archery to both the Dhritarashtras and the Pandavas, his heart was with the Pandavas. But Duryodhana had made him feel so obliged that Drona agreed to join his ranks. Also, Drona was extremely fond of his son Ashwatthama. In fact, one could say Ashwatthama was his weakness. And Ashwatthama was Duryodhana's friend. It was another reason for Drona to stay on with Duryodhana. Kripacharya was also obliged to stay with Duryodhana. Karna, of course, was Duryodhana's friend and very loyal to him. Because of his exceptional expertise in archery, Karna was Duryodhana's answer to Arjuna. He had been recognized as a great archer early on, and Duryodhana had deliberately cultivated him and had given him a small kingdom. This gesture was enough to commit Karna to Duryodhana forever. So everyone who was in some way obliged to Duryodhana had come to the battlefield to fight for his cause. They were all very well equipped with weaponry skills and a thorough knowledge of warfare. Just as armies now have tanks, there were chariots, cavalries, regiments with camels as the mount, regiments with elephants as the mount and infantries. With all this support, Duryodhana was ready. The Pandavas were also ready and the war was about to begin. All eyes were upon Arjuna because he was the one everyone wanted to see in action. Even the gods wanted to see him, and the balconies were full. To add to the color, Krishna was sitting right in front of Arjuna as his charioteer. Krishna was the added attraction. Arjuna was already the apple of everyone's eye. But to add to that, Krishna was also there. Therefore, all eyes were upon Arjuna, whose chariot was driven by none other than Krishna, the Lord himself.